This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Awakening. I'm Cynthia James, and this network is about changing lives one woman at a time. We're changing the planet one woman at a time. We're changing lives one woman at a time. I am so grateful that you are here and that I get the opportunity to introduce you to women that are inspiring me, changing lives and making a difference on the planet. My guest today, her name is Sandra Joseph. And this show is going to be a little different. There'll be a surprise ending. But let me introduce you to Sandra by her reading her biography. Sandra Joseph, Broadway performer, turned keynote speaker, singer, author of Unmasking What Matters, 10 Life Lessons from 10 Years on Broadway. She is the co-author of Your Creative Soul, Expressing Your Authentic Voice with Carolyn Mace. She played Christine in Phantom of the Opera for close to 10 years, over 1,300 performances. And then she became an author, and then she became a speaker, and then she became a workshop facilitator. I am so thrilled she's here. Welcome, Sandra.
So happy to be here with you.
I love Phantom of the Opera, and I love the character Christine. The voice is amazing. And I met Sandra. She was a guest speaker. I'm a member of the Transformational Leadership Council, which is a group of authors and speakers that come together a couple times a year. And she began to tell her story, and it was very interesting. But when she opened her mouth to sing, I want you to imagine what it would like to hear an angel walking on earth singing. She is amazing. I know people look at you and they think you walked into the audition, sang, people fell out of their seats, offered you the role, and the rest is history. Is that what happened?
That's not even close. It was years of struggle inwardly and outwardly to get the role and to have the courage to even be able to sing in front of people. Or, you know, I have the same struggles, Cynthia, as so many women, struggles about visibility, about how vulnerable it is to let ourselves be seen and heard. I've never been comfortable in the spotlight. I've never been comfortable being seen. It's still challenging at times, which, you know, I chose an odd career given that it's uncomfortable for me to be in the spotlight, but it really was the love of this art form and also recognizing from an early age that I had something to offer. I'm a child of the 70s and I would be listening to Debbie Boone and Olivia Newton-John and matching what I heard on the radio. And I sort of started to recognize that I loved singing and I felt that I had some kind of ability. And I think many of us feel that way. We know that there's something inside of us that if we find the courage to bring it out into the world, it wants to be expressed. So the challenge for me was on from a very early age. How do I face my fear and be able to use this thing that I think I have inside of me? And it took decades. And I really was on a spiritual and personal growth journey right alongside my study of singing, acting, dancing, because I needed to find ways to support myself through the journey. I wish I'd had a mentor like you at that time. I really do. Even now I'm noticing as we're talking, Cynthia, you know, you're very generous in your introduction and your words about my voice. And I still have to fight. I notice myself, shrinking and cowering away from compliments. And it's just still a manifestation of the tendency to play small, the cultural conditioning so many of us have gotten about it's not okay to be big. It's not okay to be the fullest expression of our fabulous selves, it's still hard to take that in, and I'm working on it still. So thank you for your kind words. I'm receiving them and reveling.
I love that you're saying this because you're right. Because no matter how much we have a calling or how often we think that there's something pulling us forward, we can doubt our abilities and think that we're not worthy. So would you please tell us how many times you auditioned for Phantom of the Opera?
It took, well, after years of being rejected all over New York and, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of auditions and hearing no, thank you, and, you know, moving on, I finally had the chance to audition for Christine. And it took me 3 tries. It was a bit of a Goldilocks experience for me. My first audition, I couldn't even believe I had gotten in the door for that show. It was a big deal just to have a chance to audition. And I was so terrified that I froze. And so I was too small the first time, sort of inhibited and shy. And then the second, thankfully, they gave me another chance. Second try, I went the opposite. I was too big. And I was trying to prove myself. I'm Christine. I can do this. And it came across as desperate and fake. And I cringe when I think about it. And then finally, by the time I had the third audition, it was a one of those thy will be done moments for me. I just said, if this is meant to be, let this be. And if it's not, I'm okay with that. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. If it's not my turn, if it's not right for me, then help me to let go of it. And let me just walk in there with gratitude and grace and be in that moment to really inhabit the moment. I thought I may never get another chance to stand on a Broadway stage and sing this beautiful song. And this time I want to be present for it and bring my heart to it. And I think it was that presence and that authenticity that they saw. And that's what allowed them to connect with me. I brought my vulnerability in the door with me the third time instead of trying to fight the fear and push it aside.
I love this because isn't this how it works, how people touch us? They open our hearts with their presence and their authenticity and their vulnerability. I want you to tell the audience a story. I heard you say it when you spoke and it was profound for me, so much so that I began to practice it and tell my clients about it. And if I remember correctly, you were doing 8 shows a week. You were near burnout and you went to dinner with a friend who gave you an amazing gift. Kind of makes me emotional to think about it.
It's my dear friend, Scott, who is also an actor and a director. And he knew how much I was struggling with burnout after playing Christine for almost 10 years and more than 1,000 performances. I was starting to lose that fire, that edge that you have to bring, the energy every single time. So he invited me to meet with him and he handed me this most priceless gift. It was a purple box, and on top of the box, he stenciled the word perspective. And inside the box were clippings that he had scoured the internet to find from people all over the world talking about their memories of when they saw Phantom and what the show meant to them, how it had impacted them or created a memory that lasted a lifetime. And there were just these incredible stories from people. There was a man who saved up for a year to take his family on a trip to New York to see the show. And he said, I'll never forget the look in my daughter's eyes as I watched her watching Christine. And I realized some people might be having the moment that I had when I was a kid and saw Annie knew that's what I wanted to do. There were people who had a woman who took her mom to see the show when her mother was terminally ill. And she said that was my mom's favorite show. She was so happy that night. She was feeling great. And every time I hear those songs, I feel my mom's spirit there with me. And that really, talk about perspective. It took me out of myself and put the spotlight on service. And, you know, I'm just one tiny part in a giant spectacle of a musical, but connecting to why it matters and the opportunity we have in every moment to make a contribution, to give someone something that might last them a really long time, that really motivated me to the finish line. And not everybody is motivated by that particular thing, but I think we can all find something that helps us reconnect with our inner fire and passion to do what we do.
Well, that's exactly what I did. I haven't been around the world like Phantom of the Opera, but every place I went, I started taking the flyers and the clippings and the emails and the thank yous and the people saying that they appreciated my work with them, and I put them in the perspective box. And anytime I felt like I was a failure, anytime I felt like I was struggling, I opened it. And ladies, you can do the same thing. You can create a perspective box, put cards, emails, anything you want in there, and open it anytime you need to be reminded that you matter.
Cynthia, that is such a great, I would love it if people would do that. I started a folder on my computer. I have one in my email and I have one separate one on my desktop called Perspective. And I put emails that I get. I gather them because I do think it's important for us, especially those of us who might have been raised with a fear of inflating ourselves. It's not ego to take in the good, to take in compliments. It's a gift someone's giving you. It's energy. It's fueling your purpose. And I encourage women to celebrate themselves and their accomplishments in that way. I don't think we get enough messages. I certainly didn't growing up. About that it's okay to celebrate what you do in the world and how you show up and to really remind yourself that it matters.
Exactly. At the end of the show, you're going to hear Sandra sing. But in this moment, Sandra, would you please tell us how we can find you, how we can get in touch with you?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm at sandrajoseph.com and I'm in all the usual places on social media. And yes, thank you for the song by Michael John Lacusa. I recorded that for a project I co-authored with Carolyn Mace called Your Creative Soul. And I was very grateful to get the rights to be able to record that beautiful song. And I'm honored that you're sharing it in the way that you are.
Well, it is beautiful and I'm thrilled to share it. But I have one last question for you. It's the question I ask every guest at the end of the show. What is the one thing you want women to know about awakening?
Oh, the one thing I want women to know for their awakening is that you are enough. You are enough exactly as you are. And yes, we're all on this path of awakening and trying to improve ourselves. And nothing has to be perfect in your life in order for you to awaken and to be enough. And it's available in every moment. It's available in every moment. And I know you said the one thing, but I have to say this other thing because it's been such an important key for me in my own awakening. And that is tuning into my body, the bringing my attention into the interior space of my physical body has been one of the biggest keys that's unlocked something in my own spiritual awakening. I don't know why. There's neuroscience behind it. There's a whole emerging field called interoception, which is basically the interior perception. There's something about the body that's already awake. And when we tap into that, getting out of the thoughts and into our experience of our cells almost. I think the spaciousness that's within us connects us to the spaciousness that we are a part of, that we are. And so I encourage women, especially, I think there's something in the feminine that is, it wants to be embodied. We want to be the fullest, sensual, alive, awakened version of ourselves that we can be. And tuning into the body has been a huge part of the puzzle for me. So I encourage women to start just paying attention to their bodies.
Ooh, you're speaking my language. This is the work I do with people. When I coach, I teach them the language of the body and how they can use it to create a life beyond their wildest imaginings.
Thank you, Cynthia. You are a blessing and a gift to me and to all women.
Thank you, Sandra. I love you so much. We're going to end this show with Sandra's song, So Much Love. And for those of you who can see the podcast, you will see images, photographs from my world-renowned husband, Carl Studner, an amazing photographer. And I just invite you to let the music soothe you and the photographs bathe you.
Love can a heart hold? A drop, a cup. How much love can a heart hold before it fills and overflows? Who knows how much it takes before it swells and breaks, with lakes and rivers, seas and oceans, cosmic teaspoons of emotions. How much love can a heart bear? A dash, a touch. Love can a heart.